Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Hey, what it is. How y'all doing out there in the world? It's your main man, Derek L. Randall, back with you. I took a brief break from radio for a little while, but I'm back. The bug bit me. I can't stay away long, so I came back. Came back with DLR's Jewel Hour. The Jewel Hour, I have dimmed this Black News Network. It's a pretty much Sports Center with Stuart Scott meets CNN meets Urban America. It's news for my neighborhood, our community, our outreach. Pretty much me just, you know, topping it up on in the know topics, things going on around us, things we may be up on, things we may not be up on. However it goes. I'm going to run my mouth. So I hope you enjoy for the next hour or so. I'll give you a couple jewels from my standpoint, from my point of view, my perspective. I will put this disclaimer out there, not that it's needed, but just for technical purposes. Everything that will be submitted on this show is only my views, my understanding. It doesn't mean you have to believe it. Doesn't mean you have to go with it. It's just pretty much me. I have a perspective. I'm a person. I'm an individual, and I have an insight, and I choose this platform to use it on. I hope you enjoy. If you do not, that's fine as well. We all have perspectives, and we all have choices. With that disclaimer being out there, I move into the show, today's show. We have some pretty hot and steamy topics out there. I don't know. I know everybody out there is pretty much know by now that the Denver Broncos won the Super Bowl. I had to put that out there because I am a diehard Denver Broncos fan. If you know me, you know that. If you do not know me, now you know that. I am a diehard Denver Broncos fan. I'm talking about I go back to when Elway did the drive against Cleveland. I go back to the four lost Super Bowls with Elway. I go back to the two championships back-to-back on his way out. I go back to I go presently. We ain't got to go no farther back. I go presently to Peyton Manning, Mr. Bobblehead himself, two championship this year, the loss against Seattle. I had to take that. I actually host, me and my wife host a big Super Bowl party every year. And 3 years ago when Denver lost to Seattle, I had to take that one. But this year, we got our revenge. We won a Super Bowl. We got the championship. There are some reports out there that Peyton Manning will be retiring. I don't know how true that is. If it is, I think he's did a great deed. He's by far, I will put this out there, by far, in my opinion, the greatest regular season quarterback I've ever seen. From the standpoint of controlling the game, being a coach on the field, we've never seen it before. I do give props to Cam Newton. I have to say this for Cam. He is a great quarterback. He got plenty more years ahead of him, and I wish him the best. But this year was the Broncos' year. Inside of saying that, the whole point of getting on that before I got off on a tangent of the Broncos, because I am a true Bronco fan, which you know by now, Beyonce performed at the halftime show. She did a song that's Formation. I'm going to be totally honest with you. I'm not too familiar with the whole understanding of the Formation, but I take it that law enforcement took offense to it. And in taking offense to it, she's also going on a tour now. A tour that everybody's, it's pretty much sold out from my understanding, and the tickets are pretty steep, but I've seen Beyonce's show actually on HBO. I haven't seen it live. I see her and Jay-Z, they did, I think it was Crazy in Love tour, something like that, but it was a great performance. Absolutely outstanding. I don't see a problem paying for what you want to see, and especially if somebody puts on a great performance. So all props to Beyonce. But getting to my point, law enforcement has pretty much boycotted or is calling for a boycott of providing protection at Beyonce's concerts, which I find, I don't know. I don't know how that really from my understanding, the law, from all rights and provisions, is to protect and serve. I don't understand if you find offense to what she's saying. There's a lot of offensive songs out there, if we want to be real. It's a lot of offensive songs to race, creed, and individuals for the most part. But law enforcement protect them. I don't know why it was such a big thing about this Formation performance and the whole standing of the output or the outlook of the song. I'm not really sure. I don't know. I will say this though. If my job is to protect you and I'm getting paid to do that, regardless if I like what the sentiments of what your profession may be, I think I still have to protect you. If you're not causing harm or you're not projecting harm to someone, I'm getting paid to do a job, I need to do that. That's my stand on it. Take it however you want to. I don't know how you guys feel. Me personally, I don't know. I'm on the fence. I mean, I really, I've delved into it a little bit. I haven't delved into it a lot. I do know this much, and I will point this out. And if you're out there, you can chime in. The Honorable Louis Minister Farrakhan, has of the Nation of Islam, has chimed in and has offered to protect Beyonce at her concerts. So I think that was a huge monumental stance to show a state of unity, unification, basically, for Beyonce and her ability to be an artist. As an artist, and I'm an artist because I write myself, I feel as if the freest expression of liberation is being free in who you are. Now, we have a constitution, we have laws that are in place, but the constitution pretty much gives us the right to be free and to speak what we mean. So if we're going to constrain Beyonce and her freedom to be an artist and say, okay, we're not going to protect her because we don't like how she's being free, I think that is hypocritical. That's just me. That's just me. I'm not, you know, the end all be all, but I do have a perspective, and that's mine. I don't know what your take is on it. If you want to, you can chime in. I do think it was big ups to Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam stepping up and being the protection that Beyonce needs to show that it's a solidification of unification. At the end of the day, there's all means of taking care of things. One monkey don't stop no show. I've heard that a lot. I'm pretty sure you have too. And I guess in this point, we see it to be defined. If you have any insight, you want to, you know, share your thoughts on that, call in. The number is 718-664-9983. But I don't know. I've done enough talking for now. I guess I'll drop a little sounds in there. Let you hear a little music, and then I'll come back, and we'll get on the next topic. Check this out. This is something I ran across. I take that back. I didn't run across this. I was watching the BET, I think it was the Hip Hop Awards, and Erykah Badu was the host, and she did this song. And I find the song to be very, very, very insightful and pretty much intriguing. So check it out. Tell me what you think. As I said, that number is 718-664-9983. Give me a call. Let me know what's happening. I ain't doing that. It's early in the morning. Steve Harvey just went off. I figured I'd give you an hour of my time. All right. I'll let you boy.
I can make you put your phone down. I can make you put your phone down. I can make you put your phone down. Let me cruise through the city. I can make you put your phone down. You ain't gonna text no one when you with me. I can make you put your phone down. So you can show me attention. And I'll cut mine off too. Boy, that I have when I listen. I can make you put your phone down. Baby, we don't need it. Every time you get a message, like you don't see it, I can make you put your phone down. Tell me, do you cuss? I can make you put your phone down. Boy, that ain't gonna stop me. I can make you put your phone down. I can make you put your phone down. I can make you put your phone down. Make you know I wanna check that again. I can make you put your phone down. Riding in the drive, hair blowing in the wind. them all down. Cause when you talk, I'ma listen. I can make you put your phone down. Leave it at the crib, guaranteed you wouldn't miss it. I could make you put your phone down. And it wouldn't leave your pocket. I can make you put your phone down. Probably wouldn't even know how to unlock it. I can make you put your phone down. I see your friend calling, but forget him. I can make you put your phone down. Your mama probably think you ought to listen. I can make you put your phone down. I can make you put your phone down. I can make you put your phone down.
I don't know if you enjoy that song as much as I do, but I like the sentiments of it. Erykah Badu, I can make you put your phone down. Hey, I can make you put your phone down. I'm sorry. I apologize, but I will sing. I might try to hold a tune. I can't, but I'm going to do what I do, as always. Moving into our next topic of the day, Dante Fowler. I'm not sure if any of you guys are familiar with Dante Fowler. He's actually an NFL football player. Actually, former player of the University of Florida, the Gators, outside linebacker. He's now a DN for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Recently, a tape came out, a videotape of him and his girlfriend and his baby mama. I don't really like the term baby mama. It seems so derogative. Let's say the mother of his child. We're in an altercation. Actually, he wasn't. He was there, but his girlfriend, current girlfriend, and the mother of his child were having words in a hallway, I think it was, or something like that. And he stood back, basically. And I guess when I was growing up, we used to do this thing where when two people had a misunderstanding, we would get some dirt in our hand, and one person would stand in the middle of two people having a misunderstanding, and we would say the baddest one, not the dirt out of my hand, and that's kind of what went down. I mean, he kind of stood back and told them, okay, well, y'all figure it out. Y'all fight it out, and we'll settle it that way. It came off kind of disturbing watching the tape for a man who should. I can't speak on his true feelings. I don't know. I don't know Dante Fowler for myself. This is only my personal perspective and understanding, but for a man who should have feelings for these two women to allow them to sit there and have a physical altercation just seemed disturbing to me. I don't know how your take may have been on it. Again, if you want to chime in, I'm here. I'm just chilling, waiting on somebody to talk to me. 718-664-9983 is the number to call in live, and then we can chop it up. But when looking at the video, man, it was strange to watch. I mean, it's different when you're kids and you it's an innocence in it. You don't kind of – you're learning right from wrong. And I'm a big stickler on the fact of right and wrong is really individual. So, I mean, that's a whole other outlook too. But a grown man letting two women fight, that one has a baby from him and the other one he's in a relationship with, to let them carry out that kind of altercation, for me, is disturbing, man. It just really is. I mean, it's other ways to figure things out. Now, I'm not knocking nobody as a hustle. If that's what you do and that's what you like to do, fine. By all means, do that. Me, personally, I'm not finna let my wife and my son's mother fight in front of me. That's just not happening. But that's me. That's me, personally. And, I mean, you see it how you see it, that's fine. I'm not going to go against what anybody else say. For me, it was disturbing. I don't know what your take is. I mean, what do we do in that situation? Now, we're adults. We can't sit and talk this out. I mean, for one, and look at it from this standpoint. This is his girlfriend. I said wife. I have a wife, so it's a whole different atmosphere for me. Now, some people may not agree with that either, but however, I'm emotionally linked to both of these women. Why would I sit there and let them cause physical harm to each other? And one happens to be the mother of my daughter or son. That's crazy. Why would I let somebody inflict pain on my mom, on my son or daughter's mother? I wouldn't let nobody do it to mine. You ain't finna put your hands on my mama, so why would I let? I don't know. It's confusing me. I don't know. What y'all think out there in the world? I mean, holler at me. Let me know. I found it to be, and I keep saying it's disturbing, but it was. It really was disturbing. A grown man, and I keep emphasizing grown man because I think a maturity comes with age. And sometimes it doesn't. Maturity comes with experience for the most part, but that comes with age itself. So that can be debated as well. But in that maturity, as I have gotten older, I realize now a lot of things can be worked out with the understanding of knowing I see things my way and you see things your way. That means it's going to be a conflict because me and you are different. So now let's sit down, because I realize that, and hopefully you can get it too. Let's sit down and compromise somewhere. Or if there's no compromise, at least be adults or mature individuals and walk away from this situation understanding that we agree to disagree. I'm not letting you finna beat up on my wife, my girlfriend, or my baby mama, or mother of my child, because at the end of the day, that's causing pain or hurt to someone else. I don't want you to do it to me. I don't want you to do it to my mama. I don't want you to do it to my daughter. I don't want you to do it to my sister. I'm not going to let that go down. I thought it was disturbing, period, point blank. So, I mean, that's my outlook on it. I don't know what everybody else got to say out there, but like I said, I'm here. I'm listening. I'm waiting. If you want to chime in, go ahead. It's Dante Fowler. I mean, he's a Florida Gator, former Florida Gator. I won't even harp on the fact of if he was from Florida State, everybody would be thrown out there, because I am a Florida State Seminole fan. I will put that out there, too. Everybody would be, yeah, that's just typical. That's typical of Florida State. Yeah, thugs and all this. Okay, we're not going to get into all that. I'm not going to make it about that, because I think it's bigger than that, because it has nothing to do with the school. It's individual, because the person makes their own decisions and choices. So regardless of where Dante Fowler's from, I disagree with his actions. Now, I will say this, in his defense, he has apologized since, and he said, and I quote, saying all three people involved are dealing with the matter as a family. I think now the maturity has set in, the maturity and the understanding of the fact that we can sit down and figure this out as individuals and do it in a sense of love instead of altercation of, okay, let's fight this out. The baddest man knocked the dirt out of my hand, as I kind of implied too earlier. I don't know, man. The things you see now and with media, social media, being so privy to so many things, and we getting a possibility to get insights to all these things that when I was 15, 16, we didn't have. If nobody told you the story, you didn't know. Now you actually can see the story before somebody even tell you and make your own choices. So it's a little different now. I don't know. I'm kind of stuck. Can somebody call in and help me out? If not, I'll move on. But you just, you know, and this is another thing. I want to point on this. We get ourselves in positions as individuals where the limelight is on us. A lot of times, everybody's not ready for the limelight. I can be honest. It's times I can do without the limelight. You go your whole life thinking that's success, to be known. And then when you get to be known, you realize it's heavy. That the head is heavy that wears the crown, basically. So once you get in that limelight, it's a lot of things that come at you. It's a lot of situations. Now, say for instance, let's point this out, and then I'll move on and get off this topic totally altogether. Let's point this out. Say for instance, if little old me, nobody knows, had the same situation that Dante Fowler had, I decide that I'm going to let my wife and my the mother of my kid figure this out, an altercation, whatever the misunderstanding is. Well, it's probably not going to get any bigger than the people that are in my immediate family, outside, maybe a little bit in the community. But it still has a ripple effect. The difference for Dante Fowler by being on the mainstream, and being out in that political eye, in the public eye, in that spotlight being on you, look how big this story got. Look how big it got. So we have to be conscious of the decisions we make. And maturity plays a big part. That's why I went back to, you know, maturity. And then again, like I said, everybody sees things differently. Some people may say, well, what's wrong with that? Hey, I'm not saying you're right or wrong. I'm not saying I'm right or wrong. As I told you earlier, that right and wrong thing is individual. It's however you see it. Whatever works for you, float your boat. For Dante Fowler in this situation, though, we do see now after everything has played out, he came back and I said that they're dealing with it as a family. So obviously he kind of regrets the decision he made at that moment. Or it makes sense now to say that because everybody else didn't agree. However you see it, however you want to, as I said to you earlier, for a man, a grown man, to be involved with a woman that he's in love with and then have a previous relationship with another woman that has bore his child, to let them have a physical altercation between each other and to stand there and watch is disturbing, period, point blank. And that's my tip on it. With that, I'll go into some more sounds. Check this out. This is one of my favorite songs. It's by my homegirl, Guapele, my homeboy Bone, Billy Bone, Billy Boston Jr., Bone. Her EP. Check it out. Get at your boy.
Falling.
Yes, sir. GB, First Love, Guapele. That's one of my jams. Check it out, man. Guapele, to me, is one of the unsung artists. She'll get a lot of props. I think she should get. She's a great, great singer. Also, her music and her art has a great content to it. It's very conscious and deep. Check it out, Guapele. Moving on to the next topic. Oh, let's see. I can fit this in. The Oscars. Last night, of course, as you may not be aware of, but if you are not, I will now inform you. Last night was the Academy Awards, the Oscars. I'm not quite sure what number it was, whatever. It was hosted by comedian and actor and activist Chris Rock. Of course, I've recently found out that Chris Rock was asked to host in pretty much given the job to host the Oscars way before the whole uproar of, you know, the Black community speaking out. Notable to name just a few, Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith boycotted the Oscars this year, as well as Spike Lee, because they felt as if it wasn't support or notification, the Black artist or Black actress and actresses was not pretty much represented or would be represented well last night as far as their achievements for over the last year. This is my take on it. I know some people may think I'm far right. I think, yeah, that would be the right thing to say. The far right on this, because it has been some talk of Stacey Dash coming out and saying some things, and people was like, who's Stacey Dash? She's lost her ghetto card and all this. Listen to me and listen to me well. Everybody have a choice to do and be what they want to be. Precise, period. Just like I'm on the radio right now because I chose to, and I made a platform for myself. So, can't nobody give me nothing. I can go take what I want and make it happen. Think about it from this standpoint. When I was 8 years old, the Grammys was the biggest award show on TV. The Grammys. Listen now. Think about what I'm saying. The Grammys was the biggest award show on TV. At probably about 26, 27, I realized the BET Awards was way bigger than the Grammys for me. Because, and I'm explaining it to you, for the first time, everybody that was on the award show, I wanted to see. Not saying that the Grammys were bad, but it was certain people that I wanted to see on the Grammys. More, for instance, the people that the music I listened to and was relatable to, that was played in my community. With that being said, somebody decided to go out and start their own platform, BET, and made the BET Awards. Inside the BET Awards being made, it became bigger to me, and this is my personal stance, I don't know, I can't speak for everybody, but bigger to me than the Grammy Awards. Case in point, instead of boycotting things that we feel we are not interjected in the way we would want to be, go out and start your own thing. Go out and make your own platform. BET Awards showed you that. If the Black community feels as if the Oscars is not representing us well, then let's start our own Academy of Black actresses and authors. We don't have to always want to be included. We can make other people want to be included in what we do. If you haven't noticed, Wolf Spitzer was on the BET Awards. Now, this is a Caucasian male that's predominantly known for being on CNN. He's on the BET Awards, which means, case in point, that the BET Awards drew in the other side. Why can't we do the same thing? We don't have to warn and beg to be nowhere. I remember a while ago, I seen this thing on Tupac, and he was saying, Tupac Shakur, and he was saying, and I paraphrase, of course, it was a brief past interview. It was a brief clip of the interview he was having with someone, and he was explaining how when you knocking on the door and you hungry and you knock that first time and nobody answers, you come back and that hunger is still building in you, nobody answers. But by the time you come back that third time, you ain't kicking or knocking. You pushing that door in because now I'm hungry and I'm going to let you know. That is, I took that to understand it this way. It's not so much derogatory. It's not so much being combative. It's just saying, if you don't give it to me, I'm gonna find my own way. Because I know that food there. And I know it's inside where you at. Now, I don't have to get it from you, but I'm coming in there. And I'm going to show you. I'm going to get it. So with that kind of understanding, with that kind of drive, with that kind of instillment in us as a culture, as a people, as Black people. And I'm talking straight to the Black people right now. Listen. And when I say this, I'm not saying this to make it seem as if I'm separating anything. I'm just being general. I'm Black. I'm a young African-American man, by all accounts. Some people will say old, but I say young. I'm a young African-American man, Black male, that grew up in dominantly Black culture. With that being said, I understand what struggle is. Listen, I eat chitlins. I eat hog maws. I eat coon. I eat everything that was given back in the days as a means to say, you get the leftovers. It became a delicacy. A delicacy. I think I said that right. Forgive me. I'm country. It became that wanted food after a while. Think about it. In slavery, the slaves was given the leftovers, the slop, which was the insides of the cow that nobody wanted. To the point now that everybody wants chitlins. Those that have never had chitlins will eat chitlins because we took what was bad and made it good. That's what we do as a people. That's what the Black culture, that's what my people, that's what where I come from does. Because we're so used to struggle that we've learned to overcome adversity in such a manner that what we project and what you see at the end of the day that you thought you didn't like, you want. And that's what I'm talking about. So in a non-explicit way, I would say this. Forget the Oscars. Build our own Oscars as a Black culture. If we get to the point where we're making the Oscars more popular because we're boycotting it, let's make ourselves more popular by starting our own and drawing the Oscars into it. Like I said, Wolf Splitzer was on the BET Awards, which means we drew white America into the BET world by just making awards. We don't have to have the Grammys. I don't watch the Grammys like that no more. I may glimpse at it and catch it every now and then, but I'm more intrigued by BET Awards. That's just me personally. As I said, it's not about black and white. It's about culture. And inside of culture, you have to understand, everybody has their own. If the Oscars can be around for all these years and build its own dominance, why can't we do the same as a culture and build our own? We join into the Oscars. Why can't white America join into the BET Awards? They have, and they will. Do the same thing. We need to project the same thing in building our own, basically. I mean, that's it for me. No more, no less. I'm not going to beat that no more. Like I said, if you're out there, you want to chime in, the number is 718-664-9983. If not, I keep talking. I get into the hot topic, the basics of the show today, Black Wall Street. I'm not sure if a lot of people is familiar with really the meaning of Black Wall Street. Black Wall Street was basically, and I'll read a little passage for you. The best description of Black Wall Street, or Little Africa, as it was also known, would be to compare it to a mini Beverly Hills. It was the golden door of the Black community during the early 1900s, and it proved that African Americans could create a successful infrastructure. That's what Black Wall Street was all about. The dollar circulated 36 to 100 times, sometimes taking a year for currency to leave the community. Now, a dollar leaves the community in 15 minutes. And that's crazy. I'm going to read that back. The dollar circulated 36 to 100 times, sometimes taking a year for currency to leave the community. Now, a dollar leaves the Black community in 15 minutes. Wow. As for resources, there were PhDs residing in Little Africa, Black attorneys, and doctors. One doctor was Dr. Barry, who owned the bus system. His average income was $500 a day, a hefty pocket change in 1910. Wow. So, pretty much, this is what I was talking about when I was saying, let's move into this understanding of realizing nobody's going to give us anything. Nobody gives you anything. If you want it, you make it happen for yourself. Not that may mean making it happen where you at. That's okay. So, for instance, let's use this for example. Robonian, a small community, not real big, based, pretty much predominantly built off the essence of the people that's there. If you want to build and make something happen, go where you come from, initiate the change, and watch it happen. Pretty much, pretty simple. Black Wall Street. It's no different than what's done on quote-unquote White Wall Street in New York. A bunch of businessmen come together and decide they want to put their money in a certain place, and they monopolize. Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in the 1900s, was a black community that did this. Why can't we see? We can do that right now. It's no difference in then than now. I mean, they didn't take the knowledge with them. They left it for us. We should be using these things. Now, the disturbing part of Black Wall Street and the downfall of it is in 1921. In 1921, in Tulsa, what happened basically was Black Wall Street, the name finally given to one of the most affluential all-black communities in America, was bombed from the air and burned to the ground by mobs of invasion whites. In a period spanning fewer than 12 hours, a once thriving black business district in northern Tulsa lay smothering. A model community destroyed and a major African-American economic movement resoundingly diffused. The night's carnage left some 3,000 African-American dead and over 600 successful businesses lost. Among these, 21 churches, 21 restaurants, 30 grocery stores, and 2 movie theaters, plus a hospital, a bank, a post office, libraries, schools, law offices, a half dozen private airplanes, and even a bus system. As could have been expected, the impetus behind it all was the infamous Ku Klux Klan, working in consort with ranking city officials and many other sympathizers. Wow. Now, this brings in the understanding of even when you build it, someone ain't gonna like it. And this is my point. I'm going to show you the reverse psychology in this. Not even reverse psychology, the reverse understanding. The same way the success of the Oscars may not be the issue of why blacks or African-Americans decided to boycott it, at the end of the day, it's a pretty successful platform. So because we feel as if we should be interjecting in it as black Americans and being a part of the movie system, and we are. I mean, that's a lot of movies, Denzel Washington, Isaac Barrett, Will Smith, all these guys make great movies. And they are a part of the Oscar. I mean, of what's being nominated at the Oscars. My only point is this. If I'm going to go against what successful you've built, why even bring down your premise? Go and start my own. If you can do it, I can do it. Instead of hating on each other, get out and do it for yourself. If the Ku Klux Klan would have sympathized and understood that there's no reason to bring down Black Wall Street, we should just go out and make our own White Wall Street, which they did years later, quote unquote. It could have been room for everybody. And this is my thing, like, And I seen this meme one time, like back in the 80s when I was growing up. I'm a 70s baby. I was born in the 70s, but I grew up in the 80s, 78. Yeah. So I grew up in the 80s. And it wasn't like, you know, all this. The word hating didn't exist then. I mean, it was hate, you know what I mean? But it wasn't the infrastructure it is now. Like, if I had it and you had it, we all eat. That's how it was. Why can't we go back to that mentality today? These are my perspectives. Like I said, you don't have to agree with me, and I get it. Most people won't. I just put my perspectives out there because I have a platform to do it on. I openly ask others to do this. This is not a debate. This is not a dictatorship either. This is a conversation. And I think the best way to get to revelation is to conflictually come together and understand it. And you do that by having conversation. My take on Black Wall Street is this. I will create another Black Wall Street. I will. I'm going to show you. I'm going to defiantly do it because I understand. I understand that it doesn't take me being mad at you. It doesn't take you being mad at me. It takes me doing it, just like it takes you doing it. And with that understanding, that's what I'm going to do, period, point blank. I see Black Wall Street to be an inspiration for me. Think about it. I just said the dollar circulated 36 to 100 times, sometimes taking a year for currency to leave the community. Now a dollar leaves the Black community in 15 minutes. Come on, man. Ain't that profound? Come on. Think about how profound that is, what I just said. If you monopolize it, keep it inside the community that you are in, look what we build. Look what happens. Look what happens. Watch. Understand. This ain't nothing somebody taught us. This is what we took from what we was given as a culture and established. Years later, now we think that the Wall Street that we know of in New York is the platform and the initiation of Wall Street. That's a joke, killer. That's a joke. That's a joke. The Black Wall Street, or Little Africa, was in Tulsa, Oklahoma in the 1900s that established and that set about for the Wall Street you know of today. Period, point blank. I mean, it is what it is. You don't have to agree with me. This is history showing itself. I just explained to you. I broke it down to the mere fact and understanding of gizzards and chitlins and hog maws. You give me what's left over, and I will make it a delicacy. I will make you want it because that's what I do. That's what I do. And that ain't got nothing to do with culture. It just, for history's sake, it shows that the Black culture was able to do that. I'm just telling you, if you are willing to go up against adversity, you can be Black, white, green, yellow, blue, purple, and pink. All them colors put together one at a time. You can do what you want to do if you're willing to stand up to adversity. With that, I go into the next song, and then I come back and close this thing out. I'm enjoying myself. I hope y'all is, man. I'm having me a good time. Let me see what I want to play for y'all. Oh, boy. Let me see. Oh. You know what? I'll play a little jazz myself.
Let it burn.
Gavin Sullivan, Let It Burn. Hey, that's one of my niece, Chris. That's her favorite song. I had to get that in there. It is one of my jams. I like it too. I just got a text. I was finna close this thing out, but I just got a text. I wish I had more time, but I will go into it. I got a text from my homeboy, my main man. Y'all probably know him. Corey T. Washington. I call him T. He sent me this, and I'll read the question to you. Can Curry, at this point, legitimately be called the best shooter ever to play the game? My answer is absolutely. And we're talking about Stephen Curry. I believe Stephen Curry for the Golden State Warriors, right? At this point in time, what we are watching has never been seen before. I mean, the man is hitting threes unorthodox, sideways, upside down. It's just like the goal is a big old bucket. And I say that because I remember Michael Jordan saying that when he hit the six threes in the championship against Portland, when he was in the championship series against Portland in game six, and he was like, the rim was like a big old bucket I just couldn't miss. That was one game for Jordan. Every game that Stephen Curry is in, you believe that every shot he puts up, he's going to make. That, to me, defines absolutely, by all means, the greatest basketball shooter I have ever seen. And listen, I'm a basketball fanatic. So I've seen Mark Price. I've seen Ray Allen. I've seen Reggie Miller. Pure shooter. Off the dribble, off the pass, behind his back, inside out. And the thing about this boy is his jumper ain't just cold. He will take you to the hoop. Stephen Curry, probably at this point, and I'm going to be honest, we've said for the last probably 8 or 9 years that LeBron James is the best basketball player in the world. I have to disagree, and I'm going to tell you why. Winning really matters. Stephen Curry right now at this point and the Golden State Warriors probably can win the next six championships the way they playing and the way he playing. I mean, think about it. This dude ain't even playing the fourth quarter. He ain't playing the fourth quarter, and he's averaging 5 to 6 threes a game. We ain't going to even mention the fact that he's shattered the most threes made in a season already. I think it was 100 and something or 200 and something. He's on course to hit 300 to 400 threes in this season. And we ain't going to even talk about the fact that they on course to break the Chicago Bulls' 1996 record of 72-10. I mean, I think they're 52-5 or 53-5 now after beating Oklahoma, OKC. And everybody was saying OKC was the team that was pretty much matched up that can run with them. You can run with them, but then all of a sudden this boy just go off on a tear. You can do nothing with Stephen Curry. And then I do like the fact that he's so humble. I really do. I really do. I like the fact that, I mean, don't get me wrong, he talks trash on the court. You can see it. You can see his game, his swag. It's all about him. It's a little cockiness. But then when you see him and you talk to him, he's like the quiet assassin. I mean, he's like that dude that sits in the room and says nothing. And then when it's showtime, it's like, whoa, where he come from? You know what I mean? I mean, I have a profound like for Stephen Curry. I would just put that out there. Being that I was a point guard, too, back in the day, and still is today, I think he really leads from the front. And I always have said, point guards lead from the front, not the back. That is my motto, and that's what I go by in life still to this day. I even look at life, for the most part, from a standpoint of playing basketball. I hoop every day. I'm at the free throw line, concentrating every now and then, trying to get it right. I'm driving. I'm going to the hole hard, trying to make sure I get the things in that I need to get in. And I take a charge every now and then. I'm getting knocked down, but I'm gonna get back up and I'm gonna run down court and I'm gonna play D or I'm gonna play offense. It just go that way. It is what it is. So I don't know what your take is on it. I don't know what the world take is on it. But I have defiantly defined for myself, and for everybody that's listening, that Stephen Curry is the greatest shooter I have seen play basketball at this point in time in my life, period. I'm not entertaining nothing. You can talk about whoever you want to. First of all, Reggie Miller's shot was unorthodox. And, I mean, to me, it just came off as luck. Stephen Curry does not come off as luck. It's not luck when somebody has the ball and you automatically think he finished make that. That's not luck. That's called guarantee. That's what that is. That is Tom Brady. That is Tom Brady with 2 minutes left and in the game and he's driving, you pretty much know Tom Brady finna score. So this is the difference in that. When the ball is in Stephon Curry's hand and the game is going on, at no point in time do you think he cannot score. Tell me that is not the greatest shooter you have ever seen. Period. Point blank. I mean, you can argue it. I don't have a problem with it. But I'm just telling you where I see it and how I take it. Now, matter of fact, I got 2 minutes. Give me somebody that you can equate that is better than Stephon Curry. And I ain't talking about just in this moment. I'm talking about all you got to do is watch one ball game he's playing. And I do point this out. It's four quarters in a professional basketball game. The dude is only playing three, and he's averaging 5 to 6 three-pointers a game. He's already shattered the three-point record for the most threes made in a season. Are you listening to me? Are you listening? And the other side of it, he's shooting six-pointers. He's like 10 to 20 feet behind the three-point line when he's pulling. So, and then that's the other thing. The boy releases butter. I mean, it's like butter. It's like, it's the equivalent to 1985 Dan Marino release when he first came into the league with the Miami Dolphins. It's just that fast. Before you know it, it's gone. And he's going down court the other way. He don't even watch the ball go in. He don't watch the ball go in. He released the ball and do the Barry Bonds. When Barry Bonds used to hit the home run and just drop the bat, because he know it was gone, and walk off. That is Stephon Curry when he released. That, to me, is the greatest shooter of all time, period. And his career is not over. I think Stephon Curry is just in his third year. Bim. That is a big, profound statement, but I'm standing by it. So if anybody wants to combat that or come back at me, holler at me tomorrow. I'll be back. As I said, it's DLR, Jewel Hour, the Black News Network. I'll be back. Stuart Scott Sports with Sports Center and CNN meets Urban America. With that, man, enjoy yourselves, man. Y'all be easy out there. Lock your doors, but open your heart. It's hard, but it's fair. One love, JWJ. Dad out.
So how long are you going to be?
I don't know, babe, but I have to go.
Hey, Bill, left your phone.